There are not many parables, obviously, in John's Gospel compared, say, to Matthew or Mark or Luke. Nevertheless, in terms of distinctive teaching, and especially teaching in morality, teaching in spirituality, where morality identifies what we must do, and spirituality identifies what we should do, going beyond our obligation. In other words, on the level of not merely believing with our mind, but of choosing and loving with our wills, that's the parable. They are our principal source of Christ's teaching. And in the closing verses of the Gospel of St. Matthew, there our Lord, remember, tells the disciples, go therefore, teach the gospel to all nations, teaching them to observe. Who can finish the sentence? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Christ's teaching was not meant mainly to enlighten the mind. Teaching as enlightening the mind is only a means to an end. What's the end? What's the goal? The purpose for enlightening the mind is to move the will. The will to do what? The will to choose and hear it and to keep choosing. My favorite definition of love, sustained choice. Not being a pastor in, well, parochial ministry, I don't have too many weddings. I think 20, maybe 22 in my life. I tell this to parish priests, they laugh at me. They tell me we've had that many in 1 year. 47 years. Not even 47 weddings. Well, but I watch. Oh, how closely I watch a couple getting married. Oh, how deeply in love they are. Oh, how deeply in love. And surely, almost speechless, do you take so-and-so here present for your lawful wife? Yes, I do. For your lawful husband? Yes, I do. But then, same will. Got to keep on choosing. The essence of love is choice. It's the free will. You keep choosing. And that person, 6 months, 6 years later, oh no. As I asked, I think I should say this publicly without identifying the archdiocese. One archdiocese had a reputation for being, well, an annulment mill, just turning out annulments right and left. So one day I had, coincidentally, lunch with the chief of the tribunal. Well, during the lunch, he asked him, Father, by the way, what norm do you follow in your archdiocese for granting annulments? You must have some norm. You've got a national reputation for giving so many annulments. Well, between bites of food, he said, well, for us. Everyone who applies for an element has a right to one. That is the end of the Catholic Church. That archdiocese is in a bad, bad way. As I've told so many people, there are some 2,300 active, still living dioceses in the Catholic Church. There are now 1,900 extinct dioceses in the world. Once were dioceses, like the Diocese of London. The main reason for the Catholic Church disappearing in one diocese after another over the centuries is right here. Instability in marriage, where the bishops backing that instability. Catholic Church cannot survive on those terms. I am directly quoting, by the way, one of my dear friends from the Roman Rota, whose job it has been for years, passing judgment on annulments that are being contested and challenged in Rome. We are talking about the parables being the main source of our meditation. And the meditation is to enlighten the mind in order to strengthen the will so that when I've chosen, I remain committed to, I know, comma, how well I know, comma, how painfully well I know what it means and what price you've got to pay to remain faithful to your lifelong vows. Number four. The parables call for, and I've got five areas, each one of which is good for an hour's class or reflection, prayer, in order to grasp their meaning. I cannot recommend a better form of meditation than the parables. And all told, we've got some 72 parables, depending on your arithmetic, but the largest count is 72 parables in the Gospels. Some short, some long. Prayer. Lord, what does this parable mean? What do you mean? Second practice. In living out the parables so as to grow in our virtue of faith. That's what the parables are all about. By reflecting on the parables and then putting them into practice, we more clearly and deeply both understand and then live out in such a way that others will want to follow our example. Docility in obedience to the Church's magisterium, explaining, should be an L there, explaining the parables. We make a nice verb with it, explaining the parables. And let me tell you, 25 years in teaching my own fellow Jesuits, how well I know what a difference between having a good intellect but joined with humility and having a good mind but lacking humility. And for understanding teaching and living in the parables, you need a lot of humility. You don't lose. You just don't lose. The lowest figure, the lowest, 8,000 priests leaving the priesthood in the United States since the close of the Second Vatican Council. Without a reason. We can think of 1,000 reasons. One basic reason, how well I know, is a lack of humility. And they're accepting the church's teaching on things which the world simply does not agree. Sanctity, you know, obtain the clarity of vision given to the pure of heart. And the closer I get to eternity, the more I want to be sure that I am spelling out what I consider most important, the most important thing in the teaching of religion is sanctity in the teacher. No substitute. All the book knowledge, all the doctorates, all the academic learning, you can have it. It can be worse than a waste of time. You can go to the head of the person and make the person actually proud of possessing knowledge, say, that others lack. Finally, study. Study of the church's saints and scholars to benefit from their insights. It's remarkable, really, how busy people will tell you they are. And as you know, we always have time for what we consider important. In today's world, everyone, no matter how busy a man may be at his job, or a mother and wife with a family or household duties, sometime must, I use the imperative verb, must be spent in studying the faith. Sometime must be spent. And one good way, as I told the people in Washington, is to teach others. There is no better way of learning myself than knowing that I've got to teach someone else, because then I do not give what I don't have. In Area 5, the parables are the model for teaching the faith. In other words, as you read the Holy Father's introduction to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and by the way, that should be read almost memorized, because there's an accumulating amount, shall we call it commentary, on the Catechism. I think I now have 11 books of commentary. There are a few that are favorable, but most of the books that I'm buying, I buy them for this purpose, most of the books are not according to the mind of the Church. Published by, indeed, Catholics. and so-called Catholic scholars the Catechism of the Catholic Church in a way and to a degree that previous universal catechisms were not so formally intended. Take the Roman Catechism, published under Pope St. Pius V in the 16th century. This catechism, of course, it was written in order to preserve the faith, to assure Catholics that what they believed in their own lives, what the Church has believed over the centuries, is still the truth. But one very new dimension. This catechism is intended to be not just a model for understanding the faith we profess. It is meant to be an inspiration and motivation for teaching the faith to others. In other words, we reached a stage in the Church's history where somebody, somewhere had better still have the faith, understand it, firmly be convinced of its truth, and have the zeal to teach it. We've lost 90,000 sisters in the United States, since the Council. 90,000. We've lost 85% of our Catholic schools. As a result, millions of children have been orphaned in not having access to the true faith, such as for some two centuries our own country was blessed by and was the envy of the rest of the Catholic world. Over the years now, how many months of August into early September, I have, say, offered Mass in parish churches where the pastor would make an announcement pleading with parishioners, please, please help us to teach the children. We don't have teachers. And, of course, one result has been is not so much a dearth of teachers, but so many of these people, even well-intentioned, just don't know their faith. And, of course, what's happened is the vacuum is being filled. Oh, it's being filled, all right. My people who may be very committed to religious pedagogy, my dear Lord, how close is that pedagogy to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church? That's a big question mark. In other words, there was a desperate need. And in general, in all the so-called developed countries, developed physically, America has the longest lifespan the most per capita earnings. Materially speaking, we are the envy of the world. But spiritually, we become, as the missionaries of charity have reminded me now over the years, we are a mission country. How do you get vocation, say, to the consecrated life to Americans who are brought up with such ease? Whatever they want, they get from infancy, who never learned the meaning of sacrifice. So like Christ, we are to use His parables to communicate His truth. And there's only one, if I use the word fear, that I have, being so deeply aware of the situation, both personally and vicariously, because of the work that I'm involved in for the church. And only God can give this to us. Nobody else. To somehow stir up the zeal in our hearts to share Christ and His teaching with others. As I keep telling people, our salvation depends on it. Nobody will get to heaven alone. Nobody. Either we help others get there, we won't make it ourselves. Even the art of spiritual conversation. When I watch people spending hours watching television, I want to scream. When I see a priest doing this, the natural temper has taken years for me to control. I've got to run away. Otherwise, I would shout in the name of God. There are souls starving for Christ's truth. And you are wasting your time filling your minds with such drivel. Only one day when I raised my voice, I know the effectiveness can be reduced. Let me tell you, this is crucial. Like Christ, we are to explain the mysteries of our faith from real life. Let me tell you, we've entered a new age in the deepest sense of the word. Whole dioceses in America, Rome tells me this, not my idea, whole dioceses in the United States are at the risk of disappearing. Do you hear me? By the way, thanks for being here. Well, let's do something. In the name of God, let's do something. Finally, like Christ. distinguish between the multitudes and the disciples. There are the masses who need to be taught. It's called the rudiments of the faith. The first license for television station, so my memory tells me, was in Pittsburgh, 1941. 53 years, according to my memory. Who controls the media in our country? Is it those who have the true faith? No wonder Mother Angelica has so many enemies. Isn't that wonderful? But how we need, and where do you begin? I think I mentioned this before, but with this I will close. This is my mission from the Vicar of Christ, Paul VI. I've told maybe most of you where he, Paul VI, appointed Commander Lee's abbot, sent to the States to do something to arouse Catholic Americans in the name of God, said the Holy Father, arouse the American Catholics to begin to use the media to preserve and propagate the Catholic faith. Otherwise, said the Holy Father, by the turn of the century, most of the Catholic Church in America will be gone. The media will be too powerful. Four years was over. The abbot and I had dinner together in Chicago. Asked him if I would take over his mission, which I did not hear until he told me what it was. Not a young man, but seemed to be in good health. 2 weeks later, he was found dead in bed. I inherited his mission. One reason that I've been writing. Yesterday, got to bed at 2:30 in the morning. There's work to be done. Americans must wake up. I hope and pray there's one soul here who will, by God's grace, realize the privilege and the responsibility of, and couldn't be simpler, use Christ's parables, stories from our own life, and telling those who enter our lives what Christ has meant to us, so that by bringing Christ into their lives, we may, in our own way, help to save the world. Amen. I think we have a 15-minute break, which would mean, I think, 2:40. So, 2:40, we will have our next class, which will then be on church history. Let's say Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.